thank you once again for your faithful giving of God's tithes and your offerings. And one last announcement I want to mention is the business meeting that's happening next Sunday after church. I think we have a slide for that. And so if you are a member of the church, and if you're not a member of the church, you want to be a part of that meeting, we want to welcome you to that. So some point after the service, we'll make our way down to the fellowship hall and lunch will be provided. And so we will go through our business. We do that once a year just to let you know what's happening and all that. So I encourage you, plan on being there next Sunday. So awesome. Well, if you haven't, we haven't seen you in a few weeks. We have unveiled our new 2026 theme titled Jesus Overall. And Jesus himself, I think we have a slide for that too. I'm not sure. Okay. Jesus himself reminds us not to be troubled, to trust in him like we do God. He assures us that not if, but when we go through pain and sorrows in this life, to take heart because, why? He has overcome the world. Jesus over our troubles, over our relationships, over our traumas, over our wounds, and even our work issues. The truth is, nothing can separate us from the love of God through Jesus. 2 weeks ago, we began a new sermon series titled Jesus Over Money. Jesus Over Money. Jesus knew that our spiritual lives are connected very closely with how we handle money. Our spiritual lives are connected very closely with how we handle money. Jesus knew that humanity wouldn't serve God unless they dethroned their idol of money or possessions. So we began this series with the understanding that God owns it all. God owns it all. Knowing that God owns it all, it begins to change our perspective about life. It changes our perspective about money and our possessions, about what's really important. And because God owns it all, we are God's money managers. We are God's money managers. God has entrusted to us, not given to us, entrusted us his assets. And as his money manager, we do with it with what the owner, who is God, desires. One day we will all stand before God and give an account of our lives. We are God's money manager. Because God owns it all, second point is our money doesn't belong to us. Our money doesn't belong to us. We often fall into the trap that what we work for belongs to us and us alone. It's mine. The example in the Word of God is that the early church, they met together daily. And when there was a need, they sold their homes, they sold their property, and they gave the proceeds to help those in need. They felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything that they had. What a picture. Our money doesn't belong to us. Because God owns it all, we don't belong to us. Psalm 24, verse 1 tells us that the world and all its people belong to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us that we don't belong to ourselves, but we have been bought with a high price so that we must honor God with our body. The price was paid by the death of Jesus on the cross for you and for me. Because God owns it all, we don't belong to us. A few weeks ago, my in-laws, Pastor Jim and Jill, you know, and Julie and I went over to our daughter, Danielle, and new son-in-law, Ryan's place for dinner. And earlier that day, Julie made a pie, a banana cream pie, and we took it over, and that is my favorite pie that she makes. Any pie lovers out there? All right, good. I'm in good company. We had a delicious meal at their little place and around the table, and then it was time for dessert. Right? Time for the pie. Now, I want to do a little poll this morning. How many eat dessert immediately after the meal? Okay. How many wait until later, until you're less full, to have dessert? Oh, it's about half and half. Okay. How many always have room for dessert no matter what time? Both hands are up. Okay. Now, listen, but imagine if instead of going over to our kids' place for dinner, Julie and I were invited to a pastor friend's home, and we brought the banana cream pie with us. Okay, so imagine that. As we approached the front door with our pie, half of it was mysteriously missing from the pie dish, and we thought nothing of it. It's like we just brought something, leftovers, you know, open the fridge and like, let's take this, right? It's already half eaten, and let's just bring that to our guest, you know, to our friend's house tonight. Imagine that, right? As an invited guest, we wouldn't bring a half-eaten pie to someone's house. There might be some temptation to take a slice on the way over. I get it. But we wouldn't do that. Why? Well, it would be rude, I think. It would be extremely tacky and make us look like we don't have any common sense or self-control. You know, there's banana cream on my face, you know. Here you go. We're here. We're here for dinner, right? Bringing half-eaten leftovers doesn't say gratitude for being invited over. We would want to bring a freshly made pie. When I say we, I say Julie. To bring that pie with us to our friend's home. You see, that's what we do to God when we come giving tithes and offerings. When it comes to giving tithes and offerings, we show up to church with leftovers in our hands, a half-eaten pie, if you will, or whatever is left to give to God and His kingdom. God is not wanting our leftovers at the end of the week or at the end of the month when it comes to giving tithes and offerings. God wants our first fruits. God wants the best of what we have. It's then that God knows that we are trusting Him for the rest. When we bring our tithes and offerings, God knows that we are trusting Him for the rest. So my title of my message this morning in this series, Jesus Over Money, God Comes First. God comes first. Way back in the Garden of Eden, when God was, you know, God made the man and the woman, and He told them, I'm giving you 7 days, but one of them is reserved for Me. You can work 6 days, but like Me, you must rest on the seventh day. He also told them, I'm giving you all the beautiful trees in this garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil belongs to Me. Don't eat its fruit. You see, at first glance and reading that or hearing that, we might think that God is selfish. He's wanting to keep some for Himself. Why? Well, you see, it's a reminder to all of us that God owns it all, and we are His stewards. But God also wants us to remember God comes first. God comes first. God is always concerned about first things. We read in Exodus chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, the Lord instructed Moses, dedicate to Me all, not some, not most, all of the firstborn sons of Israel, and every firstborn, first, not middle or last, firstborn male animal. They are Mine. Sanctify all the firstborns. Consecrate to Me every firstborn. Dedicate the firstborn son of every family to Me, is what God is saying. He wanted the firstborns, whether they were human or animals, to be His. He declared, they are Mine. The firstborns belong to Me. God even instructs His people in Exodus chapter 23, verse 19, bring the best. He didn't say, bring the okay. Bring the half-eaten dish. Don't bring your worst, but the very best of the first fruits of the soil to the house of the Lord your God. Bring the best of your land's early produce. Bring the first grain that you harvest. Bring the choicest first fruits of your soil. Bring them where? Bring them to the house of the Lord your God. Bring them to church. So not only do the firstborn sons belong to God and the firstborn animals belong to God, even the first fruits that are harvested belong to God. You see, the Israelites would then sell their fruit and vegetables with that, and they would bring the tithes to the house of the Lord. It says in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, a tithe of everything, that's all income, right? A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. A tithe, we don't say that word a whole lot in common marketplace, but a tithe is 10%. And it was the bare minimum the Israelites had to contribute on a regular basis to the Lord. For what? Why did they tithe? Well, the tithe went for the maintenance of the tabernacle and to the Levites. God says in Numbers 18:24, it's not on your screen, it says this, I give to the Levites as their inheritance the tithes that the Israelites, the whole community, present as an offering to the Lord. The Levites would take care of the tabernacle, and they'd also help the priest in their duties. And that was how they earned a living. You see, the firstborn and the first fruits belong to God. Why? They belong to Him because it is holy to the Lord. God expects to be first place. God expects to be first place. He does not ever settle for second. God comes first. And when we do that, there is a built-in blessing from God Himself. The richest and wisest man who ever lived, Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first and best part of all your income. Then your barns will be full and your vats will overflow with fresh wine. Honor God with everything you own. Give Him the first and the best. Honor the Lord with the first part of your crops, with the first fruits of all your harvest, the first part of all your income. If you do that, then you will have more grain and grapes than you'll ever need. If we honor God with our first and best, God will honor us in our need. God is speaking to His people when He tells them, you are robbing me. You are stealing from me. You are cheating me. And they're like, how? They ask. How are we doing that when God's people weren't giving God the first but the last? Listen to God's stern warning to His people. That's for us as well. In Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, it says this, you people are robbing me, your God. And here you are asking, how? How will we be robbing you? You are robbing me of the offerings and of the 10% that belongs to me. That's why your whole nation is under a curse. Bring the entire 10% into the storehouse so there will be food in my house. How can a person cheat or steal or rob God? Well, when you don't bring the tithes of your income into the storehouse, which is this local body of believers here, this church. And God is saying that you are robbing Him of offerings and tithes that belong to Him. If you work, if you make an income, and you're not tithing, you're not giving to the Lord, you are robbing God. God made it pretty clear how much we are to bring back to Him. You see, there's a significant difference between giving and bringing. Giving and bringing. God isn't asking you and me to give it back because God owns it all. It's His, right? We looked at God's word. It all belongs to Him anyway. God is asking you and me to bring it back to Him. It is not ours. God's saying, bring it back to me. And as a child of God, we are to give Him first, not last. Now, there is some debate that's been along for a long time among Christians that tithing is under the old covenant and not the new covenant under Jesus. Tithing is the Old Testament teaching in the law. I'm under the New Testament, under grace now. Okay, true, okay? But if we were to study Scripture in the New Testament, the giving of money goes far beyond the tithe, but none of it comes short of it. Let me say that again. The giving of money goes far beyond the tithe, 10%, but none of it comes short of it. Jesus, He validated the mandatory tithe. He validated it. He said, yes, do this. Even on the small things, when he said in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, how terrible for you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you give to God 1/10, there it is, 10%, even of the seasoning herbs such as mint, dill, and cumin. But you neglect to obey the really important teachings of the law, such as justice and mercy and honesty. These you should practice without neglecting the others. Jesus confirmed that they were tithing, yes, even tithing on the crops from their gardens. And they got down to the nitty-gritty, right, when it came to the tithes. But he called them out. He called them hypocrites because even though they were tithing good, they were in disobedience to God's truth by not being obedient and merciful and honest. Listen, Jesus always raised the bar. He never lowered it. He always raised the bar. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22, you have heard that it is said to our people long ago, right? He's referencing the Old Testament, you must not murder anyone. Is that a commandment? Right? So Jesus is referencing the Old Testament, you must not murder anyone. Anyone who murders another will be judged. But I tell you, Jesus said, if you are angry with your brother, you will be judged. He raised the bar. I still believe that murder is sin, which is under the old covenant, right? We still agree. Do we throw that out too because we're under the new covenant? No, we don't. Jesus raised the bar. He raised the bar again in Matthew in that same chapter, verse 5, verses 43 and 44. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who hurt you. He always raised the bar. The average American Christian gives between 2 and 3% of their income to the church. Meaning, Jesus isn't over their money. According to recent Barna Group statistics, only about 3 to 5% of churchgoers regularly tithe a full 10% or more of their income. 3 to 5%. 25%, that's 1 in 4, of churchgoers do not contribute to their church at all. And the thinking goes, here's the thinking, here's the rationale that goes through our minds is when I'm back on my feet financially, then I'll start tithing. Then I'll start tithing, but you have it backwards. Start tithing and you'll get back on your feet. It's called faith, and it's real, especially when it comes to money. Randy Alcorn says this, the tithe is God's historical method to get us on the path of giving. Tithing isn't the ceiling of giving, it's the floor. It's not the finish line of giving, it's just the starting blocks. Tithing isn't the ceiling, it's the floor. It's not the finish line of giving, it's just the starting blocks. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13, the Apostle Paul encouraged voluntary giving, but he also said giving was about obedience. God has expectations of you in your giving. And to give less is to rob God. I don't want to stand before God someday and be guilty of robbing Him. And I don't think you would want that either. When God comes first little point this morning, God meets my needs. When God comes first, God meets my needs. Do you really trust God with your finances or not? Being a follower of Jesus is not easy. It's not easy. Putting your trust in God for your needs, that can be difficult. It seems so silly to think you and I know more about our needs than God. I need to pay this month's bill. I need gas in my car. I need to pay rent. And you worry and you stress about it all. Guess what? God owns it all. God knows your need, friend. He knows your need. Instead of worrying about food or drink or clothing, put God first. Matthew 6, 33 and 34. Seek first God's kingdom and what God wants. Then all your other needs will be met as well. It doesn't say all your other wants. All your other needs will be met as well. So don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will have its own worries. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Those are the very words of Jesus. Be concerned about God's kingdom. And more than anything else, put God's work first and do what He wants. Then your needs will be met. It's a principle in this book right here. This is not my opinion. This is not, you know, some other leadership books that I've read. These are the words of Jesus. You meet God's needs, and God will meet your needs. I mean, I could have just said that one sentence and gone home, right? If we put God first, not our leftovers, not our last, we put Him first, especially in this area of money, if we make an income, He will provide for your needs. God is trying to teach you to trust Him. He will provide for you. God meets your needs when God comes first. When God comes first, second point, God gives back. God, the first giver, loves to give. He gave you life and breath. He gave you the ability to work and so much more. For God so loved the world that He gave, right? His only Son. God's a giver. But God also gives back when we put our trust in Him. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give and you will receive. You will be given much. It will be poured into your hands, more than you can hold. You will be given so much that it will spill into your lap. The way you give to others is the way God will give to you. God loves to give because He's not stingy. He's not greedy. He's not a hoarder. God is testing your heart to see if you trust Him with your money. By the way, it's His money. He owns it all anyway. You are a money manager. Are you passing the test? He knows that you worry about having enough. He knows that. We're human. But God wants you to put Him first in your finances. And when you do, God gives back. R.G. Letourneau, this guy, invented those big, massive, earth-moving machines, you see. Well, his business started to flourish. Big time. Billions. And he goes to his wife and he tells her that he doesn't want money to come between him and God. So he decides to do a reverse tithe. He was going to live on 10% and give 90% away. She thought he was crazy. But for 50 years, he kept giving away 90% of his income, and God kept giving him more. Today, many of the seminaries and Bible colleges, many of the radio stations that we listen to, Christian stations, an entire generation of Christian ministry was all funded by him. A friend came to him one day and asked, how come you keep giving all your money away and you keep having more to give? And Letourneau, this man said, I don't know. I'm not a very smart man. All I know is that I have a shovel and God has a shovel. And as fast as I shovel it out, God shovels it back in. But God has a bigger shovel. God has a bigger shovel. God always has and always will have a bigger shovel than you. You can never outgive God. Never. Sometimes we think, man, it's a sacrifice to give. It's already His. It's already His. He's testing you. Are you going to trust Him with your gift that's His already? You can never outgive God. God gives back when God comes first. And lastly, when God comes first, God blesses me. God blesses me. When you are obedient to give back his tithe, God will bless you. Remember, a tithe is 10%. That's the floor of giving, not the ceiling. How many have ever been blessed unexpectedly by someone else? You've been blessed. Okay, my hand's up twice. Okay. They met a need. You know, it was so generous. It was so timely. And as generous as others are to you at times, no one can outbless like God. God does use others, though, to bless us at times. That's the kind of God he is. God in his word says that he will bless you for your obedience. And when you obey God by tithing and giving in offerings, God says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, "Test me in this way, says the Lord of armies. See if I won't open the windows of heaven for you and flood you with blessings." I dare you, God says, I dare you to test me. I dare you. Trust me. God will open the windows of heaven and flood you with blessings. Wow. For those who tithe consistently, you know God's blessing to be true. There were some times that was like, I don't know what's going to happen. But God came through. And here you are. The bills get paid. There's gas in the car. It lasts a little longer. Or the car doesn't break down. Or there's enough food in the pantry. Or in a million other ways that God blesses you. In the book I referenced a couple weeks ago from Brandy Alcorn, he says this: if we pay our debts to God first, then we will experience God's blessing to help us pay our debts to men. If we pay our debts to God first, then we will experience God's blessing to help us pay our debts to men. But if we rob God to pay men, we rob ourselves of God's blessing. We wonder why we don't have enough, a never-ending merry-go-round. You see, tithing isn't easy. I'm not saying it's easy, but listen to this. It's much easier to live on 90% of your income inside the will of God than it is to live on 100% of your income outside of the will of God. Can I hear an amen to that? It's much easier to live on 90% of your income on the inside of God's will than it is to live on 100% all yours, you're not giving anything, outside of the will of God. God blesses me when God comes first. Well, how does tithing work? Can I get my gentleman to help me? How does tithing work? You just give the first tenth to the Lord. You just give the first tenth to the Lord. So I've got some help this morning to illustrate what we're talking about, to set apart the first tenth of the Lord. So this is the Lord's, this is your table. This is the Lord's table. This is yours. Everybody say mine. This is the Lord. Say Lord's. Mine, Lord's. All right. Go ahead, guys, come on out. If God gives you 10 pineapples, just throw them there, I'll get them. Just bring them all out. God brings you 10 pineapples. Yeah. All right. God brings you 10. I'm going to give one to God. Who grew the pineapples? Whose are they? What does God want from us? He wants one, right? All right. If God gives you 10 bags of oranges, he gives you 10 bags of oranges. Just dump them. Bring them all out, guys. Just hurry fast. It's all right. Is that 10? Just bring the next fruit in. God gives you 10. You give one. Who made the oranges? God did, right? All right, so he gets one, and you keep 9. You get it? You following? You tracking? Okay. If God gives you 10 bunches of bananas, all right, Come on, guys, hurry up. Just bring them out. Send them in there. Give it up for our helpers today. Yeah. I'll do it. Just bring the next ones in. All right. If God gives us 10 bunches of bananas, who made the bananas? God wants us to give him one. Okay, God, this is yours. This is mine. Yeah, bring them in. All right, the next one. 10 cucumbers. Boom. All right. Just drop one. Here we go. All right.
There's your one.
I dropped one over here. Where was it? Where did it go? Okay. God gives you 10 cucumbers. One, right, is yours. You give it to the Lord. All right. It's all good. God gives you 10 heads of lettuce. You give him one. Who grew the lettuce? All right. What else do we have out here? Carrots. God gives you 10 bags of carrots. How many like carrots? How many like dipping them in peanut butter? God gives you 10. You give him one. What else do we have? Apples. Give me a bag of apples. God gives you 10 bags of apples. Now you can dip your apple in peanut butter, right? God gives you 10 of these. He gives you the ability to work, to earn money. And God says, just give me one. Does God really need it? What's he doing? He's testing us, right? All right, yeah. Thank you. How many like potatoes? God gives you 10 bags of potatoes. He wants you to give him one. I think that's it. Is that it, guys? All right. Give them a hand. Yeah. Now look at your table. Remember, this is yours. You can't tell me God doesn't meet your needs. God has given you 10 overflowing. He blesses you. He goes, just give me one. Just give me one. Look how skimpy this table is. That's God's. That one's overflowing. This one's not. But God is saying, just give me one. You keep 9. Give me one. You're giving it to the church. You're giving the tithe to the church. Tithe. This represents tithe. Yeah, not fruit. This, yes. We're talking about income. If you make an income, and you make $100, how much do you give the Lord? $10. 10, you give him one. This is just an illustration. It's not about the fruit. Listen. It's not about the fruit. Listen. It's God gives you 10. You give him one. You tithe. He's letting you keep all of this, and it's spilling over. It's spilling over because he blesses you. God is not a hoarder. God is not greedy. And the gentleman that I talked about, he was living on this and giving that away. Well, that's easy because he was a billionaire. Wait a second. Wasn't always. He trusted the Lord when he didn't have anything, probably. Jesus over all. You see, the goal is that Jesus will be over all, over every area of our lives, that he is allowed access to every room in our life to scrub and to clean. He has access to the main living spaces that people see, you know, on the outside, but he also has access to the back closets that no one sees. Jesus wants to be over all of those areas too. Jesus over money. You see, our spiritual lives are connected very closely with how we handle money. Jesus knew that humanity wouldn't serve God unless they dethroned their idol of money or possessions. Jesus knew that that would be superior in our heart. I came across this video clip about tithing from Pastor Russell Johnson. Listen to this.
Now let me tell you why I tithe. Number one, it provides for God's house. Number two, it tells God I trust him. Number three, it creates margin in my life for God to fill. Number four, it reminds me that I am not my source. Number five, it connects my money to a kingdom purpose. Number six, it gives my job eternal significance. Number seven, it transforms my money into a seed. Number eight, it breaks greed and self-reliance off of my heart. And number nine, it lets everything else in my life know that God is first. Hear me. Tithing isn't an act of generosity. Let me say it again. Tithing is not an act of generosity. It's an act of obedience. For I am indebted to God because of his radical generosity towards me. And the least that I can do is be obedient with that which he has so freely entrusted me with. And I would venture to say that in the Church of Jesus Christ today, we don't have a money problem. We don't got a stock market problem. We don't got an economic problem. We don't got a Joe Biden Democrat problem. We don't got a Trump Republican problem. We have an obedience problem. And here's the reality. No, God will never need my money. He has streets paved with gold. He sits on a golden throne in front of a glassy sea. It is me who needs an open window of heaven over my life, which is activated by my obedience in giving my first and best to God. Now let me tell you why I tithe.
All right.
Number one, it provides for
God's house.
Go ahead
and go to the next slide there, Ben. It provides for God's house. It tells God I trust him. It creates margin in my life for God to feel. It reminds me that I am not my source. It connects my money to a kingdom purpose. It gives my job eternal significance. It transforms my money into a seed, and it breaks greed and self-reliance off my heart. And number nine, it lets everything else in my life know that God comes first. Tithing, like he said, is not an act of generosity. It's an act of obedience. Period. God comes first. When God comes first in our lives, God meets my needs. Be assured today, God knows your needs. Trust him fully. I can't trust him for you. You have to make that step of faith yourself. When God comes first in our lives, God gives back. God is the first and the greatest giver. He is not a hoarder. He is a generous God. When God comes first in our lives, God blesses me. God will open the windows of heaven and flood you with blessings. I don't know how he'll do it. I don't know when he'll do it. I don't know what he'll do to show that to you, but he promises he will back it up. Not me. He will back it up. When God comes first, Jesus over money begins with an understanding that God owns it all. Let go. God owns it all. Your car, your house, your appliances, everything, your bank account, your retirement. God owns it all. Trust him. Jesus over money continues with living out that God comes first. It's living it out. God comes first. Let's pray.